Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
All right, Penny Dean, coming up in just a moment, we can talk about your Second Amendment rights. 1-866-823-1077. Oh, this ought to be interesting. Stay tuned.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
Well, as we were just talking with Congressman Frank Genta a couple of moments ago, he's the one that read the Second Amendment on the floor of the House of Representatives last week as Congress got underway. First time since the Constitution was ratified that it has ever been read by Congress. So there's your government efficiency for you. Penny Dean, how are you today? Penny Dean joins us now for Second Amendment Tuesdays here on The Pulse. Where on earth is Penny Dean?
I'm here.
Ah, there you are. How are you today?
Fine. How are you?
I was getting a little worried there because I had introduced Frank Genta about two or three times before I heard from him. So
oh,
I'm a little worried about our phones here.
Well, my phone's happy.
Good. I'm glad. Hey, look, before I get to you, I just wanted to respond to a liberal emailer. I've actually got a couple responses for him or her, because there's no name attached to this, saying, Frank Genta is against Obamacare. Now that he is a congressman, ask him if he is taking advantage of the congressional health care program that Obamacare was modeled after. Ask him why congressional Obamacare is okay for him, but not okay for the rest of the U.S. residents. Well, I'm sorry, emailer, that I did not see that until the commercial break, but I already have an answer for that. He's not on the government-run healthcare system. He's foregoing that nice little congressional benefit. So that should end that discussion right there.
Yes, good for you.
Okay. Now, Penny Dean, there's been a lot to say about what happened in Arizona, as very unfortunate as it was. And there's just a lot that can be said and in such a little time here, but I wanted to get your reaction to that and the discussion that and I hardly talked about guns yesterday, but I sure had some emails yesterday that made like I am some sort of a gun fanatic and that's all I talk about, which, well, I do talk about it more than some others probably. But
you talk about taxes and government waste and a bunch of other things. I wish you'd talk more about guns, tell them. More about guns. Guns are very important.
Okay, good. But what is your reaction to the events of the last few days?
You know, it's a horrible tragedy, and I think what people need to step back and say is the firearm in question didn't cause this. A sick, bad person did. Okay? In other words, it's no different than a person that gets behind the wheel of an automobile, which can be, depending on the vehicle, a 3,000 to 10,000-pound weapon, and goes mowing down people. You know, it's a horrible event, but are we going to ban cars? And so
they kill more than guns do, don't they?
Absolutely. And so, you know, I think it's a great tragedy. But I think Representative Susan Gracia Hupp, and I don't presume to speak for her, but she was the one in Hialeah, Texas, who had the unfortunate luck, if you will, to have her parents gunned down before her very eyes because her firearm was in the car lawfully carried and she couldn't get to it.
Mm.
And so you think of things like this and I just, it's a horrible thing, but more people need to be able to defend themselves, you know, because there are crazy people in the world.
Yes.
And some of them are big and knife-wielding matchets. I think an example is, at least according to what's being reported so far, is the case in Warner, New Hampshire. Evidently,
yes,
the elderly Warner man was held hostage in his own home for several hours before this happened. At least that's what, you know, the papers are reporting. He was held hostage for 6 hours and beaten this weekend by a gun-wielding intruder.
Right, and it's amazing how long it's taking to get this information out for the public to understand, because in a small town like Warner, and I was just, you know, in there on Sunday, I mean, I walked into Market Basket, and within minutes, people are coming up to me saying, oh, did you hear what happened just up the street here? No, what? And then they told me, and I drove up past there, and, you know, there's the state police units and local police and the like, so it's been... Yeah, I mean, that's a story that people have been waiting to hear more and more details about. And, you know, whether the guy owned the gun that was used to fatally shoot this intruder in the head, I think is still a question to be answered. Whether he wrestled the gun, maybe the intruder had the gun, or maybe this old man was able to get the gun himself, we don't know. But, you know, one of the things in this Arizona case that people aren't talking about, Penny, is one of the folks that tackled this gunman was an armed citizen himself. And despite interviews on Fox News and CNN telling them what he had, that he had a gun on him, maybe not use the gun itself to bring the gunman down, but the fact that he was armed and that he was prepared to use it is something that has been ignored by both Fox News and CNN.
Well, I was just going to say I wasn't going to talk about that aspect, but here's what I was going to talk about is the fact that this person was essentially stopped at some point by what I call citizens, you know, by activist people. And here's what I firmly believe based on my experience and training is that when you're familiar with firearms, when you're familiar with anything, you're less afraid of it. Not that you're not wary of it, not that you don't understand its capabilities, but people who are simply afraid of firearms, the minute they see firearm, they all run. Where a person who's familiar with firearms waits for an opportunity to hopefully, in this case, take down the perpetrator. You know, wait until the firearm's pointing in a different direction, wait until they're, mm-hmm. you know, reloading, wait until it's tactically sound to stop the attack.
Right. Well, this man that I'm talking about, by the report that I was reading this morning, he never drew the weapon out of his holster. Because he grew up around firearms, very comfortable with them. He was ready to pull it if need be. But, you know, his own training and his own experience said, if I do that, I might be mistaken as the gunman, just like he could have mistaken the guy that was actually holding the gun, which was not the alleged shooter. So, I mean, that's what we talk about, replaying scenarios in your mind over and over again. How do you prepare yourself for such a thing?
And actually, he's absolutely right, because what you're going to see is that there's probably limited information coming out, and
yes.
the first law enforcement on the scene see a guy with a gun.
Right.
And so absolutely, you know, if he was able to, in this case, if you will, stop the attack in a different manner, and I think it seemed to work. You know, it's very, very sad that I think people that are in any way in the public eye need to be prepared to defend themselves. You know, they just do, because even without firearms, there's cases all the time where knife and matchet welding people invade people's homes.
Exactly. Penny, I do have somebody who wants to join the conversation here at 1-866-823-1077. Let's talk to Richie from Manchester. Hi, Richie. You're on Bulldog Live along with Penny Dean on Second Amendment Tuesdays.
Bulldog, it's Richie. You know me. I was calling all the time, and then that was great. We have a radio. And then I was really sad we had a show to talk about, like we talked this morning. It's real sad, and I was with the family members who've been victimized down in Tucson, Arizona. I'm the Second Amendment supporter. I was gun holder. I was the hunter. It's not every state in the United States they had a hunting education like New Hampshire. It's not that every state in the United States, like New Hampshire, they got to check your background and then for buying the guns. And then when you come to buy a gun, they check your background and say, yes, you can buy it, yes, or you can't buy it. Example, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. Several show in past 3 years, as the two guys, I'm not remember names, they come to the like a huge market and buy a ton of guns. Nobody asked him for the ID.
Well, go ahead,
yeah,
Penny.
Go ahead. Yeah.
It's to me, it's illegal. And then if you want to support Second Amendment, and then you have a passion to have a gun, you have to be educated. But example, as I was with guy who been on a place of the victim. They've been shooted. in Tucson as a marketplace, if I had a gun with me, how are you going to react if you accidentally shoot it? Because you don't know how to ricochet those bullets. They got to go or hurt someone. You put yourself in many as a different, inappropriate ways, and then you could be probably behind bars.
Okay, but, Richie, let's let Penny respond.
There's a couple, three things. First of all, New Hampshire sells firearms the same way every other state in the country does, which means if you go into a firearms dealer, you have to fill out a 4473, which is a federally mandated form. That's number one. So New Hampshire is no different than any other state. Number two, private sales of firearms should be legal. They are legal, and they're legal in many other parts in the country. And I tell people it's just like anything that's illegal. You cannot possibly, any more than people who get prescription drugs, sell them to their neighbors. People are going to do illegal things, but people should be able to sell their firearms to their friend, their brother, their cousin, if they so choose. And so whether they conduct that transaction in a parking lot at work or whatever, that doesn't make a difference. It still could be legal. And then legal firearm owners, okay, statistically speaking, the police accidentally shoot more innocent bystanders than civilians ever have, hugely. Disproportionately. And so a person who is well-trained and is shooting their mark is not going to accidentally shoot anyone or ricochet. Statistically speaking, it just doesn't happen in this country. It's a minuscule amount that ever happens. Armed citizens, statistically speaking, just always hit their mark. They're very careful. They're very cautious. And, you know, we've got decades of data to show that it simply doesn't happen any more than, you know, if I'm aiming at a target, I know what my target is and I know what's beyond it.
I'll tell you where it happens, the situation that Richie's talking about. It happens in the inner city with the open-air drug markets when a drug deal goes bad and these criminals who are already prohibited persons engaging in criminal activity start shooting, and then that's when a bullet comes through a window and lands in a three-year-old's head.
Oh, yeah, but those aren't lawful citizens shooting in self-defense and knowing
right.
their target. Those are drug dealers that do just a lot of things. You know, and those are the same people who drive down the sidewalk at 80 miles an hour, you know, getting anybody in their path.
Exactly. Well, with that, Richie, I hope that answers your questions.
Yes.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, thank you. Always be with you guys.
All right.
Yeah, thank
take
you.
Care. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
1-866-823-1077. Penny, I do want to continue our discussion with the interstate transportation of firearms, and I think let's take our time out right now. And when we come back, I do want to talk, because we were talking last week about knowing what the laws are in those states, and I think we should talk about that federal law that, you know, talks about interstate transport. How's that sound?
That's okay, but then we also have to talk about Thursday. They're having gun bills already. Four of them are being heard.
Oh, boy. Well, we'll talk about that as well. So, Second Amendment Tuesdays, very busy one, continues here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse.
Bulldog Live will continue after these messages, live on the Pulse.